loves us. And that's hard for me a lot of times to understand. I want to look at this morning some over in 1 John. Very familiar scripture to you this morning. But I want to take a few verses of scripture in 1 John. And then we'll be going to Romans in the 8th chapter for the remaining of our reading lesson. Do pray for us this morning. In the 4th chapter of 1 John. Starting in the 16th verse. He says, "We have known and believed that the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Wherein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, for we love him because he first loved us." And I want to stop there for a moment, and I also want to go over to Romans in the 8th chapter. Romans in the 8th chapter, starting in the 6th verse, says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So when they are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to flesh, but to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage against fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if the children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, even so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together." And with the mistakes that we've made reading this morning, with God being our help, as we look over there this morning and we began to think about fear, and I began to think about the love of God and how it's uncomprehendable, it's unimaginable for us to understand a God that we serve that would love us the way that He loves us. To understand that a God that is holy and that He is righteous, and that He has a love that He's able to love us in such a way that this morning that it's an unconditional love. A love that has so much so that He loved His Son, as the Bible said. That He would send His Son into the world, that through Him that we might be saved. And this morning as we began to think about that we're able to love Him because He first loved us. And this morning that we understand that there is no fear in love, because we understand that this morning that, let me read that again over in 1 John. He says that there is no fear in love, because perfect love casteth out fear. And this morning I want that to maybe the thought that we have. And we find here this morning in the beginning of this chapter, he declares that to be carnally minded is death. My friend, this morning, for us to be carnally minded and to have the things of this world upon our mind and upon our focus is to be death. It is yet sin to be carnally minded. And oftentimes throughout this life, we see ourselves walking through this life, being subjected to the things of the world. And yet those things of the carnal upon the flesh is death, the Bible says. But it says to be spiritually minded is life and peace this morning. That we might have a peace and a life this morning, that God loves us enough that He was able to give to us. Yet He said that through the plan of redemption, He said that He would make a way for us, for these people, that even here in Bowling Green, Kentucky this morning, that He said that He would make a way for the plan of redemption, that man might have a way, that he might have an avenue, if you will, that he might be saved through His blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Now listen, he says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He said, because to be carnally minded is intimate against God. That word means to be an enemy, if you will. Hatred, if you will. To be carnally minded, to have the things of the flesh upon our mind. You say, now preacher, it's Father's Day. I'll get to that point just here in a minute. To be carnally minded is enemy against God. To be an enemy, if you will. Paul says in Philippians, in the first chapter, I believe it's in the sixth verse, he says, I pray, my prayer for you, and I'm paraphrasing this, he said, my prayer for you is that your love might abound more and more in knowledge and in judgment. He says that your love might abound more and more. Not to be subjected yet to the love that you have, but that you might open up your heart and love more and more. To abound more and more. To build off what God has placed within your heart. That it continues to keep building and building and building. Oftentimes throughout this life we may say, well, preacher, I feel like we love God and we feel like we have our respect towards God. Is there any more room for more love? Absolutely. There's always more room in our heart for love. That's what Paul says. He says, my prayer is for you that your love might abound more and more. There's always room for love. Always room. There's never to be a point that we're ever so clothed off that we say, I'm content at where I'm at. Yet God, and listen, the Apostle Paul wrote, he says, that your love might abound more and more. Open your heart up and access to what God has to offer for you. Not to be closed off in a sense of our mind that we walk around to be carnally minded, to be subjected to the things of the world. But he says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The things of the world, as a man, as a man of the house, that there are things that come into our life. Listen to me this morning, fathers. No doubt what season of life you are in, whether you're a father, a grandfather, whether your responsibility is to be a man here in the church and to point people towards Christ. Listen this morning, there are things of the world that constantly are at our pull to bring us down. Yet I want you to understand this morning that the peace that may enter into your life is to be spiritual. It's not to be carnally minded. If you want a sense of peace in your life, if you want a sense of peace and understanding to truly experience what God has to offer for you in your life this week or throughout the years, is to be spiritually minded. Now, the writer says, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. He says, for so, then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's hard for us as God's people to walk in the Spirit constantly. With everything in the world that's pulling at us, it's hard. Everything the world has to offer, it's hard. My friend, I want you to understand this is not something that we can do alone or by ourselves. But yet it has to come through the help of God and through the help of the Holy Spirit. I don't stand before you today and say, look at me, look at what I'm able to do all by myself. That's not what it's about. But he says this. He says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So to put away the things of the world and to concentrate upon the things that God has placed within our heart. Yet if, my friend, this morning, if you've been saved by the grace of God, he's planted the spirit of salvation. He's planted the spirit of hope. He's planted the spirit of righteousness. He's planted all of that within your heart. And you are one of his children. There's a difference there this morning. And it should be a difference. You should feel a difference this morning. If you're a child of God, there's a difference that's inside of you. There's something different about you. There's something in here. Listen to me this morning. I'm not saying that all of us are built the same. I'm not saying all of us have to jump up and shout and do all of those things. We're all different. But if you're a child of the God, if you're a child of God, there should be something in here this morning that tells you and reassures you that you are a child of God. I believe this morning in all my heart, and I'll never change my thought on this. If you read over in Corinthians, he talks about a no-so kind of salvation. He talks about something that you know, something that's real, and something that you can feel. It's spiritual. It's not something that you manifest upon yourself, but yet it's something that God gives you, and it's something that you know that dwells within your heart. It's different from the world because God has planted it in there. Spiritual. It's not something that you can muster up upon your own, but yet it's something that God has placed in there. It's different. Now listen. He says, but in the Spirit, if so, to be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Therefore, my friend, this morning, when God saves you, he plants that what is his inside of you, and you become part of him. You become part of him. He's taken his righteousness and his holiness and everything that makes him up being the Son of God, the love that he has for his Father, and yet he plants it inside of your heart. Because this morning, to be a child of God is not something that you can merely muster up on your own. Now, he says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So how do we know this? How is it? We've oftentimes heard people say, I can't imagine someone walking through this life without knowing God. I can't imagine it. And I'll reaffirm that statement to you this morning. I'll reaffirm that I could not imagine walking through this life without knowing a Savior of the world, without knowing God who is seated there, my friend, this morning in heaven, and his Son is seated at his right hand. And this morning I could not imagine walking throughout this life without knowing him, without knowing that he's there to help me in every position, every awkward place that I find myself in, every time that it seems like my faith gets weak, every time that it seems like maybe the battle's too hot or maybe the battle's too strong, or every time that it seems like maybe the storms are too rough. Yet this morning I realize that there's a God in heaven who's able to help. I couldn't imagine walking through this life all alone. And we tell sinners that. Sinners, I couldn't imagine walking throughout this life not knowing a friend like the friend of Jesus. But if you have not the Spirit, if the Spirit doesn't dwell in here, then it's not me that says it, but yet what Paul refers here, he says you are none of his. It's not my position this morning to hurt your feelings. But I want you to know, if you're one of his, you ought to feel something down here. There ought to be something in here. I'm not saying this morning that you've got to stand up and just, y'all know me by now, I get a little wound up from time to time. That's all right. That's how God made me. Maybe he didn't make you that way. And that's okay too. God forms us. He knows exactly who we are, and he wants us to be exactly who we are. He's called me out to be just exactly who I am, and that's what I'm going to try to be. But this morning, he knows who you are. He's called you, and he's saved you, and yet he has a purpose for you this morning. You might be saying, well, preacher, I don't feel like I've got a purpose. Have you sought out God and asked him to give you a purpose? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderfully made. He knows you. He wants to use you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Now, he said, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It's life. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. It also says that it's appointed unto man to die once, and then cometh the judgment. My friend, this morning, if you were dead in your sins and trespasses, and God has saved you, he's made you alive. What was once dead in here, it's dead. It's done away with. But yet when Christ saves us through his righteousness and through his holiness, what was once dead is now made alive. Now he says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Listen to what John said over here in the Gospel of John. Y'all pray for me. I want to get my thought out. He says in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, he said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, but of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He gave them power. Paul says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I began to think about this week about our fatherly duties and our responsibilities. I realized this morning that very often I fall short. I realized this morning, as Brother Stroh said, I am not the man that I think so much highly of as far as my granddad, who made an opportunity that I might hear the gospel of my grandparents. I'm not him. He was the kind of man, Brother Stroh, that would get down and pray in the barn. He would pray in the backer patch. He would pray, and you knew he prayed. And oftentimes this morning, I realized that I have fallen short in those. I realized this morning that I am not as much as what I would like to be. I would like to do better. I want to do better. I want to continue to strive to do better. But I'm thankful this morning, and in my shortcomings as a father, I have a great example that's been set before me. This morning, I want you to know this morning that whether or not you have a father anymore, I've got a stepdaddy that the Lord has blessed us with, but my earthly father died many years ago. And even though he is gone, I want you to know that I have never been alone in this life. That I've always, since he saved my soul as a young boy, I have always had someone that has walked through this life with me, that has helped me and encouraged me and steered me from the wrong directions of this life. That even in times of when my youth, when maybe I was into things and doing things that I shouldn't have been doing, yet the conviction of God set up in my heart, and he said, you shouldn't be doing that. Amazing to me how God speaks to us. Even now, still, you realize we still serve a God that speaks to us and tells us when we mess up, hey, you probably shouldn't be doing it. He's a father of love. He desires reverence. That's our job as God's people. I've heard people ask me, well, what are we supposed to do? It's to honor and glorify His name. Everything that we do is to honor and to glorify Jesus Christ and the Father which is in heaven. That's our job as God's people. This morning, aren't you thankful that we have a Father in heaven? That we don't have to walk around wondering and hoping to live a life based upon hope would be mere miserable life. But yet, the spiritual, what He plants within your heart to let you know this morning that you've been saved by His grace. To me, that's a love that I can't comprehend. He says that they are, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. There are times in this life as God's people that things come upon us. Whether it be a fear, whatever it may be. I want you to understand when He says that the spirit of bondage again to fear. What He's saying is when I have saved you and I have declared, He said, what I have cleaned, it's clean. He said, no longer are you under bondage of sin. But He says, the spirit of bondage, don't sit around and fearful of wondering and pondering about what lies ahead for you, because what God has sealed and what He has cleaned up, it's clean. It's sealed until the day of redemption. God has cleaned it. He's sanctified it. He's cleansed it. Remember what it was like when you walked around in bondage of sin? The fear that came upon you? That dreadfulness? Listen to me this morning. If you don't remember, my friend, it's oftentimes we need to go back and remember what that feeling was like. This morning I want you to understand that as God's people, as we've been saved and been born again by His marvelous grace, listen to me this morning, that we are no longer under that bondage of sin as we were before. Listen to me this morning. What God has made free, it's free indeed. What Jesus has cleansed, no longer do we live under that fear anymore. No longer do we look back and say, God, would you help me? I'm afraid, Lord. I'm afraid to go to sleep. Or God, I'm afraid to do this. Listen to me. When God instills in you through His Holy Spirit a fear and trembling, or at least that's how it was for me, I still believe in old-time conviction. David said the pains of hell got upon him, and he was brought low, and there was trouble, and there was sorrow, because he realized that if he died in that condition, that hell was going to be where he was going to go. My friend, that's no different for me. I don't remember every aspect of that night when I seen that I was lost and separated from God. But what I will tell you is there was fear and there was trembling that was there. I realized for the first time in my life that I was separated from a holy God. I realized that in that moment, being as lost as I could be, that if I died in that situation, if I died with that amount of condemnation that had set upon my heart, that if I died then, that hell was going to be where I was going to go. Now, nobody had to tell me that, but I want you to know, just as it says in the Gospel of John in the 16th chapter, that this is what happened. He said, nevertheless, I tell you truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He says that when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. This morning, you ask me how it is this morning that you know that you're a sinner. How is it this morning that you're still under the fear of bondage this morning? Listen to me this morning. If you don't know this morning that you have been saved by the grace of God and there's a fear that dwells within your heart this morning that the Spirit of God should be revealing it to you that you are a sinner. Not the preacher. See, when I was lost and separated from God, nobody had to come to me. Now somebody come to me that night and asked me if I wanted to pray. And I'm all right with that. Follow the Spirit of the Lord. He put something on your heart, go do it. But I'll tell you what revealed it was His Holy Spirit. His Spirit will reprove sin. His Spirit, the Comforter, will reprove sin. Not this one, not that one, but it convicts us. But Paul says, for those of us that have been saved, he said, no longer for you to have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Don't dwell upon those things. If God's Spirit this morning has revealed to you that you are free indeed, my friend, then be free. Be free. He says, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption. To be adopted by God, by whom that we do not deserve. Adoption in the sense of liberty and freedom. We have adopted that freedom from bondage. To be adopted by whom? To be a child of God. To know and to understand the love of God. And I'm still learning that we're able to love Him because He first loved us. That He has made a way for each and every person to be saved. That you don't have to live in fear. That there can be a peace that comes into your heart that you can't even imagine. Because that's what Paul said. That you might be able to live this life and walk throughout this life with life and peace that dwells within your heart. To be adopted by God the Father in His family. To inherit all that Christ has to offer. He says, whereby you cry, Abba Father. To trust in Him with everything that makes you up, every step of the way. I don't know the path that lies out in front of me. None of us do. But I'll say this morning, that God knows each and every step that lies in front of me. I feel like a lot of times in my life my eyes are blinded and I can't see the direction and the steps that we're taking. But yet I want you to know that God knows everything that lies out in front of you. And if you trust in Him, He will take every step with you. Every step. I remember a time Back several years ago, we took a family trip to the mountains. Jessica and the baby, Brylin, was in the hotel room. Me and Braxton was all alone. And I told him, I said, buddy, let's go out. Let's go find us something to do. Well, he found something he wanted to do, high ropes course. I thought, all right, I can do that. I worked around high. We got out there and we got to going on this high ropes course. He done great. Wasn't too awful long later, we made it across the log rolls they had out there on the water. They was floating on the water. He got out there, got to doing that. And then there was a big section down on the end. That you go up a great big flight of stairs, and about 45 foot up, they harnessed you up, and they had what was called this pre-fall jump. We got up there, and he was 5 years old. We was walking through the line and finally made it up there. And come to the gate, and the little lady at the gate, she said, would you want to do this? Braxton looked at me. And I told him, I said, son, you got a harness on. And they're going to hook that cable up to you. You'll be all right. If you want to do it, you can. And what he was looking for through me was a confirmation of trust. And as soon as he had Daddy's approval, before I could say, now think about it, he was already hooked up and done jumped off the side of him. Here was the problem in that. Now Daddy had to hook up and jump off the side. When he seen in Daddy's eyes that I trusted, that there was trust there, that he could lean upon me and have confirmation, Daddy, am I going to be okay? Then he was ready to do it. As soon as I got to the ground, he was done on the stairs making his way back up to the top. I got down to the ground. I said, where is he? He said, he's on his way back down. He come off backwards the next day. What I'm saying is this. Paul says, don't allow yourself to be so absorbed with fear. But walk through this life knowing a Father who loves you. And trust in Him through every direction of your life, that when you look into His eyes, no, I'm like Job over there, for I have never beheld His physical form, but yet I have looked through the eye of faith. And I have looked into His eyes, and He said, go ahead. I'm with you every step of the way. He's there for us, and to lean on Him and trust in Him. Don't be bound by fear throughout all your life. Know who it is that you're leaning and trusting on throughout this walk of life. For it's Jesus Christ is who we're calling upon. He's the Creator of all things. Don't be so subjected to the world that you walk through it with a carnal sense, but walk through it with a spiritual sense. For He says, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. I thought about that. We had a lesson on that back in winter Bible study, and boy, it was good. To cry, Abba, Father. That's to have a relationship with Him like you would your dad. That's to talk to Him like you would your father. When you talk to Him and you cry out to Him, know who you're talking to. It's a spiritual life that we're walking. If you've been born by the grace of God and you've been adopted into His family, you've become an heir unto what He has for you. Cry, Abba, Father. How many times that my children have looked up to me with tears rolling down in their eyes. Daddy, can I do this? Or, Daddy, can I do that? And you know what I want most for my boys out of anything? I want them to live a good life and to be good men, to know what it is to be saved. I want my children to be blessed. And not just mine, I know that's what you want for yours. And you want to know what's so awesome about that? Do you realize that's what God wants to do? He wants you to have a relationship with Him that's spiritual. And He wants you to have a life that's filled with an abundance. He may not bless you in this life the way you anticipate, but He will be there every step of the way. Now listen to what He says. He said, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I want to make this very clear once again. He says that the Spirit Himself. Now here I know that we read it as itself. But when you look at it in the sense of His personality, it means Himself. So when the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit, we know that we are the children of God. Listen to me this morning. It's not for me to tell you whether or not you've been saved. It's not for me to tell you this morning whether or not you're lost. It's not up to me. But what I'll say this is, if you have felt the Spirit of God in your heart, I can't tell you. I can try my very best to explain to you what it is, but Jesus said that He's a comforter. He said that the Spirit Himself will bear witness with your spirit. So you want to know what it is to be saved? You want to know what it is to have a peace that surpasses all understanding? It's when the Spirit of God comes into your heart and He reveals Himself to you in a personal manner. You know. That's the reason why there's a lady back years ago, when she'd stand up, she'd say, I know that I know that I know. And I feel the same way this morning. Not because someone had to tell me, but because the Spirit of God revealed it to me. So I'll say this. Just as John said, He said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. There is no fear in love. Don't walk around with a chip on your shoulder saying, I don't fear. But yet when you get to those moments in your life that something comes upon you, look to the one that's greater than you, that can help you through your challenges and throughout this life, knowing that you're resting in the promises that He has for you. He says, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I don't sit before you today saying, look at me, I'm boasting because there's no fear. Yeah, there's things that affect me as a father. Yes, there's things that affect me as a man. But yet I look to the one that's greater than me. For He's where my help comes from. I want to read this last little portion and I'm going to be done. I'm going to try to wind her up. He says in the 31st verse of the 8th chapter, He says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Folks, I want you to understand something this morning. If I don't get anything across to you, I want you to know the one that loves you more than anything that you can ever imagine. He said, if God be for you, who can be against you?
If it feels like the whole world is standing against you, and as long as His Spirit bears witness with your spirit, and you know that you're standing in line with what God would have for you, my friend, then you go on and do what God would have for you to do. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? He said, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up to all, how should He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or prevail or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing. Not even fear itself shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Neither things present nor things to come, neither famine, nakedness, nothing in this world shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing. So let us stand as God's people upon a firm foundation, knowing this morning who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Knowing this morning that the God that we love and the God that we serve, that He loved us first, and we're able to walk through this life because He holds our hand and He's our very present trouble and help, and He helps us. And we know, most importantly, that we are His children because His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. This morning I want you to know something. If you've been here and you're lost and separated, and there's a fear, if there's a fear this morning about dying and going to hell, if there's a fear about being separated forever throughout all eternity from your family, the same Spirit that revealed to you that you're lost is the same one that will reveal to you that you're saved. You don't have to any longer be in bondage to sin, but you can be free. Jesus can make you free. This morning, I want you to know that it's a love like you've never experienced. When it feels like the whole world's against you, that's the Father that we serve. When it feels like this morning that you can't take another step, He comes in right behind you and He grabs your hand and He says, "Let's go on a little further." That's the God that we serve. That's the God. Let us be spiritually minded. This morning, that'd be our thought. I know that it was scattered and I know that it was probably everywhere across the board, but that's the thought the Lord gives us. Trust in the one you talk. Abba Father. I don't know if that's ever meant more to me than it does now. Daddy, would you hear my cry, Lord? We are His children. And He loves us. This morning, if you're not His child, in a sense that you've never been born again, He loves you. He wants to draw on you and He wants you to be saved. So this morning, if you don't know what it feels like, would we stand together and have a verse or two of song? And if the Lord is dealing with you, I encourage you this morning to come and seek the Lord. Come experience a love that you've never experienced before. You don't have to live in fear. I can't tell you this morning where you stand. But I know this morning the Spirit will let you know. Let us stand and sing.
161. from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away. Burden and thou shalt be blessed, he will not turn you away.
Thank you.
appreciate this, Sister Laura. Appreciate this. Something else. Anything. Appreciate this, Brother Brent. Something else on your heart? This. Something else. Anything.
Brother Casey, how do you measure God's love? Anybody want to answer that?
Through His Son.
Can we do one verse of one more song to try to measure God's love? 220. Let's do verse 3. Verse 3 of 220. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every star on earth proclaimed, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Amen.
If we can, let's have all our fathers come up here this morning. We're going to do a little something. So all the fathers.